I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 6, 2026, and Alexander, that is Alexander the Great, is with us in the intro, one of the few men to successfully ever lead an army from the outside of Persia into Persia and conquer it. One of my favorite historical distractions. I still mourn the loss of the Library of Alexandria on a regular basis. Puts me in mind of another individual who tried to conquer Persia. His name was Julian the Apostate. And Julian the Apostate also was the last person to try and rebuild the Third Temple, something the people who are running this war are dedicated to. And before I return to the subject of the Third Temple, I just want to note, this is what Donald Trump had to say last night about Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson has lost his way. I knew that a long time ago. And he's not MAGA. MAGA is saving our country. MAGA is making our country great again. MAGA is America first, and Tucker is none of those things. And Tucker is really not smart enough to understand that. He was smart enough when you put him at your side, when you needed his face and you needed his rapport to win an election. And you, in fact, Donald Trump, are the one who is no longer America first, because you have now started a foreign war, which you promised not to get involved in. But back to the point about the Third Temple. I find the timing of Trump's comments very interesting because they follow a video that Tucker Carlson put out on March 4th. And this is the thumbnail, Religious War. Go look for this thumbnail on his channel. I think it's the last video that he put out where he gets into a deep dive about the religious implications of this war that is now underway. And I found that interesting. I talked about these implications yesterday as just a piece of my video. Tucker dedicates almost a half hour segment monologue where he details the history of this. And I didn't know that he had done this when I started introducing the religious case for this war and how religion factors in. And it's not my desire to see a religious war. This is the belief of the people who are involved in prosecuting this war. I highly recommend this. The first bit is a monologue on history, and then the second bit is a military analyst talking about what's actually happening and what the Americans are facing and what the Israelis are facing in the Middle East in terms of their opponent in Iran. Everybody's underestimating them and gaslighting the American public. I couldn't recommend this more, and I find it really interesting that Trump took this opportunity to condemn Tucker after he put out this massive truth bomb. Now, people like to say you shouldn't listen to Tucker Carlson because he takes all that Qatari money. He doesn't take Qatari money. He's funded mainly by nicotine pouches and sponsorships. And by the way, a whole truck, millions of dollars worth of his ALP inventory, was stolen in something that looks like an intelligence operation to try and undermine his funding. Pretty wild stuff happening in the United States. But I want to remind people that under this administration and under Pete Hegseth, Qatar is building its own Air Force assets in the United States on U.S. soil. So who's like, how can you hate Tucker Carlson and accuse him falsely, but not listen to a word he says because you claim he's paid by Qatar the same time as this administration is embracing them? And by the way, Al Jazeera, based in Doha, Qatar, where they're having all of these talks about the Ukraine war. It's so weird how both the left and the right does this pretzel logic thing. They're all allergic to the truth. So many people just don't even want to think for themselves. They just want to do team sports. They want to cheer like it's an NFL team or an NHL team. But Al Jazeera is based in Qatar, and they are now under attack by Iran as well, which ironically, it's funny watching Al Jazeera. They've almost become one of the more balanced sources for information about the war because they have an anti-Israeli bias for sure, but now they are forced to have an anti-Iranian bias, and watching them kind of pretzel logic that all together has actually created some semblance of balance. But I digress. We are going to listen to President Trump because we're talking about truth here.
I am the candidate of peace. I am peace. People don't believe that.
A vote for Donald Trump is a vote for a man who wants to end wars, not start them.
We do not want war with Iran. We actually want peace. The Iranians are clearly not very good at war. Perhaps they should follow President Trump's lead and give peace a chance.
Kamala's campaigning with warmongers like Liz Cheney. How do you think that is? She picks Liz Cheney, whose father virtually destroyed the Middle East. You know, Liz Cheney, she talks big, oh, I want war. She always wants war. Every time I was with her in the White House, we should attack this nation, that nation, nations that people never even heard of. We should attack. She's a big, big, tough guy. She sits back in Washington, oh, we ought to go and attack Iran, Iraq. We're going to attack everybody. That's why I broke up with her. All she wanted to do is go to war with everybody. These war hawks, they want to draft your kids to die in wars, and they will never fight themselves. You know, we'll stay around the country for 15 years, just bomb the hell out of everybody, make everybody miserable. Nobody knows why we're there, you know, the wars that never end. These endless wars that we've been in, I've gotten us out of so many. We don't want to get into wars. We're tired of fighting. I'm the only president in the last 84 years that didn't start a war. Under Trump, we will have no more wars. No more wars. No more wars. We will have prosperity and peace. We will have prosperity and we will have peace.
Remember, I'm the president of peace.
They said, he will start a war. I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars. He's going to start a war. I said, no, no, no. My rhetoric is going to keep us out of wars. And that's what happened. My proudest legacy will be that of a peacemaker. That's what I want to be, a peacemaker. We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. I believe that he will attack Iran sometime prior to the election because he thinks that's the only way he can get elected. Isn't it pathetic?
All of the promise of the Trump administration was bound up in this particular promise. He's now bombed 8 different countries. He's now at war all over the place. The idea that he's been a peace president was absurd before the war with Iran started. Now it is patently absurd. The mask is off. The gloves are off. We now know that he is just a neocon. And that really bugs some people every time I say it. But it's because you're experiencing cognitive dissonance. You need this. You need Donald Trump to be your hero. You need him to be earnest in his dealings. But he hasn't been. And now he has tied the success of his administration to cheap oil, which is now over $90 US a barrel. It's up 11% today. This is only getting started, folks. We're 7 days in. When this thing started, I told you that the first 7 days would be the strongest open for the United States. And from that point forward, you would find out just how much of a capacity Iran has. The bar of success is so much lower for Iran compared to the United States. The U.S. has a lot of lofty goals. They can't have nukes. They can't have ballistics. Their army must be devastated. And now you have Donald Trump demanding unconditional surrender, even though the Americans are in no position to impose that. There was an article about this massive, monumental Kurdish invasion, which is about to take place or was taking place. Fox News and all of the trusted sources in the United States for the hypnotized right, because look, there's people hypnotized on the right and there's people hypnotized on the left. And now you're in wartime. And so the propaganda is going to be thick. If you're believing Pentagon officials, if you're believing the Pentagon generals who are glorified politicians, if you're believing the statements of Hegseth and Trump at face value, you're not doing enough work. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm trying to actually do the work to discern which Kurdish groups are rallying to fight Iran. None. There is no Kurdish ground invasion, even though they announced it. And it has since been debunked with the wife of the prime minister of Iraq begging the United States to leave the Kurds alone because enough Kurds have died for the U.S. empire in Syria and in Iraq. We've got this picture of a bunch of guys in ski masks, and I guess they've got some magazines on, and this is just cannon fodder. If this actually materialized into anything, you got a couple dozen guys posing for a picture. Some have ski masks on. Some have handkerchiefs. Like, this is just PR stuff. This isn't a solution. This isn't how you get the Iranian regime out of power. This is just theater and optics trying to hide what a colossal disaster this entire thing is. Check this out. This is video of damage done to a building in Beiran, which houses Israeli diplomats. I believe it was diplomats. this is what the Iranians can effectively do. They don't need to do a lot of this because the U.S. military right now is focusing on the number of missiles coming in. They're saying it's less. They 87%, 90% less. They're degrading the capacity. But the Iranians don't have to do massive amounts of damage to be effective. And it is way too premature. We haven't seen a lot of their most advanced ballistic missiles. They've gone all in on missiles. I showed you yesterday how they've got missiles popping up out of the desert floor. There's a lot we haven't seen. And they only have to do limited amounts of damage to cause the maximal amount of damage to the U.S. empire in the world. Here's another one. And by the way, hang on, let's just kill the sound on this. We'll get this on loop. This is Ben Gurion Airport that was hit yesterday. We have an intense fog of war where the Israelis have such tight control of video or any information about the damage that's being sustained by Israel. But we know that damage is being sustained. We've seen some incredible footage. And I figured out a method because I said in yesterday's video I wasn't going to concentrate on showing a lot of footage because there's so much AI. But I'm starting to figure out a good method is you have to have multiple angles of the same thing, and then you have to essentially make sure that the flashes, the changes in light, the number of windows and buildings, everything has to add up from multiple angles. And that's the best way to verify that what you're seeing is real. It helps, too, that the mainstream sources who are trying to maintain their credibility are running with it, at least in some way. You don't want to just grab anything off Telegram you see. But the fact is, Israel is sustaining damage. I'm going to read you the words of somebody writing from Ramallah that I was reading this morning. I just have to find it first. This was by Noor O'Day. Israelis need to know how long this will take. The Israeli public still supports the war on Iran and Hezbollah, but it needs to know how long this will take because the cost is real. The damage to their buildings is real, and the effect on the economy will be felt by ordinary people. The number of Israeli soldiers injured in confrontations with Hezbollah fighters is also increasing. We're not getting real numbers. I think casualty numbers are being hidden. We're going to get a big update at some point, and my prediction is that it's going to be shocking. The number of Israeli soldiers injured in confrontations is increasing. While the number of missiles fired in each volley is lower, they are bigger, and the impact is bigger. That is why they're focusing on the overall number. These missiles are increasingly getting through. I said it would take a matter of a week to 2 weeks for those missile defenses, those interceptors, to be depleted before the Iranians really started flexing the real muscle, which is the high-powered ballistics. They're still just firing Shahads. And the odd ballistic, which is penetrating, like I've seen so much footage now verified by former generals who are doing the analysis on this stuff. And the Iron Dome is just, it's asleep at the wheel. They're coming in so fast, there's no hope of hitting them. And we've only seen a tiny portion of those. We do not know the extent of that damage because the information is tightly controlled by the Israeli military sensor. But we do know from witnesses who have been posting videos that many of the strikes are in the vicinity of a compound housing the defense ministry in the heart of Tel Aviv. We know that many of the missiles fired from Lebanon are also targeting areas where there's weapons manufacturing and intelligence assets in northern Israel. How much Israel is hurting is unknown, but the population certainly needs answers. The damage is real and ongoing, and the fog of war is so intense and the gaslighting is so real that we have to interpret, we have to look at actions to infer how well things are going and how well prepared everybody is for how things are going. Iran strikes across central Israel prevent El Al flights from landing. The plane was reportedly only a minute away from touching down when sirens sounded across central Israel and it was forced to climb back up. Now, you may not have seen, this is from yesterday, so even the repatriation or the patriation flights are working as good as they should. And I want to state it one more time for the record. I'm not rooting for anybody here. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to tell you what is. I spent a long time last night looking at footage of this cluster munition, which this is what impacted Ben Gurion. Reportedly, it damaged F-35s, but we don't know because of the military censorship. Just like we don't actually have footage of them landing anywhere, but we have it from multiple angles and all the points of light match up. And this isn't something fragmenting, because if you watch the various footages, you'll see that it's a splitting ballistic missile, creating a cluster profile as it rains down on the airport. And it got through and it hit the ground. And we're not going to know what that damage is, because the Israelis aren't going to tell us. They're not going to tell us how this is going. All we're getting is beautiful reports and video clips of all of the buildings that they're destroying in Tehran. They're targeting residential areas. It looks like they're using AI to pick their targets. They're bombing paintings on the ground. I don't know if you've seen that, but the Iranians had painted helicopters and planes on the ground, and the Americans and the Israelis have gone in and bombed them. Those are some of the targets that are included in the massive list of targets that they claim to have hit. Bombing residential buildings, bombing empty concrete. Most of Tehran is emptied out. And you look at the casualty figures, it's mostly civilians. These aren't IRGC personnel by their own admission. So they're destroying empty buildings at the same time as the Iranians, with minimal effort, have already destroyed the American naval base in Bahrain. I don't know if you've seen those satellite images. If I put them up, everybody would say they're fake anyway. They're doing damages to American assets all along that Persian Gulf coast, all in those GCC nations, and doing enough damage that the GCC is reconsidering its alignment with the United States already, 7 days in. Here's an article. This is from yesterday. Some Gulf countries frustrated with lack of notice about Iran strikes, defense helps. No one was provided with advanced warning. And some of the interceptors are being rededicated or redeployed to the defense of Israel, leaving these Gulf states vulnerable. Another headline, Gulf states could review investments due to financial strains caused by Iran war. We're 7 days in. Oil prices are already moonshotting. I'm going to show you the state of the Strait of Hormuz next. Another article, which is paywalled by the Wall Street Journal. The trillions of dollars of U.S. investment at stake in the Gulf. So the United States is dedicating its defensive mechanisms to protecting Israel and has left the Gulf states vulnerable. You saw that video clip of a building in Bahrain. You've seen, or at least you've heard, of the U.S. bases and the damage. I've showed you some of it, and people rejected what I showed you. So what's the point of even showing it? The damage is real. U.S. assets are getting wiped out. The bases are getting wiped out in the Gulf region because those military defenses, those anti-interceptor ballistics that are the anti-ballistic interceptors that the United States could deploy in defense of their Gulf allies, have been deployed primarily to defend Israel, leaving them with their own rapidly diminishing stockpiles to stand on their own against the Iranians raining ballistics and drones down upon their heads, doing damage. We've seen the damage. And so not only are they reconsidering the investments, they'll also be reconsidering, in the wake of this, the presence of U.S. forces on their land. You can bet your bottom dollar on that, because Iran is not stopping. So for those of you who are just listening on Spotify or whatever podcasting platform, on screen is a map, or a video animation, I should say, of the shipping traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, and you can see it coming to a standstill, a dead halt. This is an artery. That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like a blood artery coming to a halt. This can't go on. This is going to drive meteoric prices in the price of oil and gasoline and diesel fuel. It's going to disrupt the global economy. People in the Gulf will eventually start starving if shipping stops, because they don't grow their own food. They have to import it from outside. This is a disaster. And the disaster that I talked about that the Americans are entertaining, is the worst disaster would be sending naval assets in to escort these ships through. Now, the Iranians have said that the strait is only closed to the flags of certain nationals, And so some Chinese shipping is going through and some other marked shipping, flag shipping is getting through. And it's getting through without getting shot. But anytime the Americans or other flagged vessels try to go through, they're getting shot at. And this is the shutdown. This can't go on. This is a battle against time that Iran wins. The United States needs a quick exit. They need a very quick finish, or they're going to do such an enormous amount of damage to the global economy. Because remember, they started this. Whether you love Iran or hate them, that's not what this is about. This isn't about taking sides. Iran, as a nation, never attacked anybody. Now you'll say, they fund proxies, Frank. They fund terrorism. Sure they do. But so does the United States. And so does Israel. They all play the same game. The Americans are funding a terrorist regime in Ukraine. They're part of a mechanism that has kept that war going. One of the promises of the Trump administration was ending that war. It's not just about the war he's now started in Iran. It was about getting the Americans out of that one. And for people who say it's complicated, it wasn't complicated. They started out good. It looked like they were just going to unilaterally cut off aid and let Europe take care of it. That would have been the right approach. The only thing that I've been interested in this entire time is this concept of North America coming together, kicking out Chinese influence, and actually establishing a bastion of prosperity for North America and getting out of the world's ethnic, religious, and moronic conflicts. But instead, they keep going. Instead, U.S. intelligence keeps providing targeting and technical support for the Ukrainian government. And now I've seen articles, I'm not even going to bother putting them on screen, talking about with outrage, the audacity of the outrage, that the Russians or the Chinese are likely providing targeting and live real-time information about the location of American ships and assets. Are you surprised? Is turnabout not fair play? Reminds me, months ago, I saw an article, an outrage article, about how a Starlink dish was seen on top of it was either a Russian armored personnel carrier, or it was on top of a drone, and there was this outrage that they would be using Starlink, even though Starlink is widely used by the Ukrainian army, without which they're blind. The hypocrisy is monumental. Turnabout is fair play in global politics. They're going to do to us what we do to them, and I speak as we, the collective West. In addition to the Americans scrambling to get a plan together to evacuate their people, something they didn't plan on doing, in addition to the Americans scrambling to come up with some kind of ground invasion force. If this was a truly planned operation and it wasn't ad hoc, you would have thought they would have armed the Kurds ahead of time and got them ready to do their bidding to die for America yet again. But they didn't do that. Republicans eye, this is the headline, Republicans eye a ballooning war package with aid for farmers and wildfires thrown in to make it more palatable to the public. Look at the face on this guy. He knows what's up. That face says it all. They need emergency funding because this thing is costing at least $1 billion a day. I watched a video clip. It was last night, actually. It was one of the video clips. I was watching a general reviewing it. And one Shahad drone, which cost the Iranians about $10,000, had three Patriot missiles at $4 million each attack it and fail to take it down. That's how much money we're going through over there. That's how much the money the U.S. taxpayer is going through. That's how much money the Canadian government has said that we support the effort, and Carney can't rule out that we might get involved. All of a sudden, all of the globalists that were dead set against Donald Trump are all of a sudden at least tacitly or in lukewarm approval of what he's doing in Iran. The neocons, which stopped at nothing to stop him from ascending to the presidency the first time and protested it the second and third times he tried, are celebrating him as a hero. That should really give anybody in MAGA pause. Now, we need to talk briefly about Lebanon and what's happening there, because there's a lot of people, including in my comment section and on Twitter, who say, don't you care about the 30,000 Iranian students that the IRGC killed? And of course I do. I've talked about that on this channel. But you know something else I talked about? I've talked about what Israel did in the Gaza Strip. They leveled this place and they murdered tens of thousands of people. And you people who are so concerned about Iranian students don't seem to give a good damn about the people of Gaza and what has been done to them. They have been rounded up and herded into glorified concentration camps, and the Israeli government is basically saying they're going to build one big concentration camp on top of the ruins of Rafah, which has been completely leveled, and they're going to herd everybody in there. And then they, along with Donald Trump, are going to manage the redevelopment of some of the most prime Mediterranean real estate, as well as natural gas resources and natural resources. They're doing the same thing now in Lebanon. So think about the humanitarian nature of this. All of these villages that are in these regions, all the way up so far to Beirut, southern Beirut, the Israelis are just saying, get out. We don't care where you go. We don't care if you have a car. We don't care what your situation is. We don't care if you're pregnant. We don't care how many kids you're trying to feed. Just get up and get out. And I'm supposed to accept from the people who are the apologists for this war that this is somehow humane. Picture yourself in their shoes. You're just some pleb Lebanese trying to survive, completely impoverished, under the thumb of a corrupt Lebanese weak government, as well as Hezbollah, as well as getting missiles and bombs rained down on top of your head by the Israelis. They just come along and they give you 12 hours to up and walk away. They've cleared out all of southern Lebanon. Now they're bombing the living hell out of Beirut, and they've ordered southern Beirut to move north. They're essentially pushing all of these people. They've done the same thing in Syria. That's a whole other, we're not talking about, because there's so many things to talk about. There's a lot happening at the same time. The Israelis are moving in Syria as well, pushing people ever northward, ever northward, ever northward. You know what's up there? Turkey. And beyond Turkey, Europe. The migration crisis for Europe began with what happened in Syria under Obama, and then later under Trump. To another degree or another, we've now put an ISIS caliphate guy in control of Syria as the Israelis are pushing the civilian population into cold nights, starvation, forcing them to sleep in the open. All of these children just pushing them ever further to the north. There's nothing humane about it. It should be heartbreaking if you have a soul. This is exactly what Donald Trump campaigned to end. And instead, he's supporting it with every ounce of American military might and depleting resources around the world that are desperately needed to check Chinese aggression potentially across the Taiwan Strait. The Americans are trying to hold on to the empire all at the same time. And, you know, they just started a military operation in Ecuador too, but we're not going to be able to get to that today because we're already running long. I want to talk about Promethean updates. Because everybody keeps mentioning, just watch Promethean, man, and you'll understand everything that's going on. The best propaganda is a blend of truth and fiction. That's what makes Q, or made Q, still makes Q, because people quote it back to me, that's what makes Q so compelling. And if you think about Q, just look up Operation Trust, read about what Operation Trust was. That's what Q has ever and always meant to me when I studied it years ago. I don't need to study it anymore. It went away. There hasn't been any new developments in it, but somehow this myth is kept alive. Well, we have Promethean updates, and I call them the Q of 2025-2026. They're mixing in a blend of truth. The blend of truth is, or the truth of it is, that the elites in the United States are at battle with the City of London and the financiers of Europe. All of that is true. I've covered it on my channel. But what they do is they take that truth and they use it to cover up the fact that Israel and Mossad is running the U.S. government and running the Pentagon. And that's the reality of it. Any shred of doubt that I had about that situation, and there was some, has been removed by the start of this war. They're torpedoing the global economy. They're torpedoing Trump's re-election chances. They're torpedoing the Republicans' chances at victory in November in the House and Senate. You know, this administration has tied its success to cheap oil prices. Let's see. I'm not going to throw it up on screen. Yep, oil is now at $91.40. It's up another 1.5% in the time I've been filming this. The cheap oil and the cheap gas is going to go away. They might do a round of money printing. They might announce a program to subsidize it, but you're just going to pay for it later through inflation and taxation. America is just as broke as it was when he came into office. It's getting far broker. You know, something that was really tasteless was I watched Donald Trump talking about the new ballroom that's being built at the White House, and it was some event. I believe it was an event where he awarded medals of Valor It was military decorations of some kind. And he went on about how, like, he might not put doors on it because it's so beautiful. Maybe I'll just keep the curtains. You know, I picked the curtains. How much money I've saved. Totally tasteless. And he's shrugging off the damage he's doing to his own economy that he's tied his success to. It's only so long before the Dow and the stock markets catch up to what happened in South Korea, where they lost something like 20% in a day. They bounced at 10%, but they're on their way down because a lot of their oil comes from the Middle East. Every day that the strait is regulated by the Iranians, every day that that bottleneck is there, every day that Iran successfully scores hits in the Middle East, they don't have to do a lot. They just have to do a little bit, folks. Like, it's so important for people to understand that the bar for success for the Americans and the Israelis is so high, and they can blow up as many buildings in Tehran. They can level the place like they're doing in Lebanon. They can level the place like they've done in Gaza. That will not win the war. The Iranians, on the other hand, only have to be effective in a limited way, and they win. They diminish America in the eyes of the world. They do all this damage. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, Europe has condemned Iran. The GCC has condemned Iran. Everybody's blaming Iran. It's not quite blame. It's not quite blame. We're in the heat of the moment right now. At the end of the day, who started this war? Who started the damage? Who triggered something? It's so predictable. It's so predictable that I've been talking about it in videos. Some pleb in Saskatchewan. I've been spelling out what a war in Iran means. The U.S. president, before he was president, both times, seemed to understand that this war was futile. He used to criticize Obama because he couldn't negotiate. He couldn't get a deal. Well, it appears that Donald Trump couldn't get a deal, even with the Iranians putting everything on the table. Maybe that's why Trump doesn't seem to care anymore. When he's asked about rising gas prices, he just shrugs it off. When he's asked about casualties or if he's worried that Iranian sleeper cells in the United States, which has so far failed to materialize, if they start killing Americans, he's like, oh, it's war, you know, people die. This kind of callous disregard might sound great to the most hardcore MAGA base, which seems to be completely immune to the facts. Because, I mean, I provide facts every single day. I've watched my subscriber count go down by about 150. I've lost maybe 100 plus followers on Twitter. I don't care. Go to zero. You'll come back. The door will be open. I won't say I told you so. I won't rub it in your faces. There won't be any ego. I'll welcome you back, just like I have every other time you people have told me I'm wrong about everything. Because that's what you do. The most important plank of the Trump administration was the promise to get out of the imperial wars that they've been waging overseas. And honestly, I don't even have to make the argument. Time will make the argument. Time is making the argument. The Iranians, for all the bombs that are falling on their head, hold all the cards, have all the power. Trump says he's going to be involved in picking the next Iranian leader. They're going to pick him without him. I think they already have. The supreme leader is the Ayatollah's son. They killed Ali, the guy who was against nuclear weapons. They killed him, and now they've got the son, who is all in favor of it, and they still possess that batch of uranium, which they can upgrade, and they've got the missile technology where they can actually affix those nukes. If they develop them, they can affix them and deliver them. This war may have created the very conditions that they claim they're trying to avoid. You know, and I didn't even get to the badges. I think we got to do that. The best way to do this is for you to go and watch that Tucker Carlson video, which I recommended at the very beginning. But here's what every IDF soldier is wearing on their uniform right now. Above, up here, you have the Greater Israel Project worn on the uniforms of Israeli soldiers. If you ever wonder what this is all about, it's about creating hegemony for the Israeli state, a state of 9 million people that wants to rule the entire region. And who's paying the price? I mean, with the GCC getting hit from the air by Iran, if they kick out the United States, who stands to benefit from the loss of U.S. power in the Middle East? The Israelis don't care if they have to abandon America at a future point. Keep that in mind. They have other places in the world they can go for support. And on this side, you have the flag of Israel, And then you have that funny-looking structure. What is that? Well, that's the Third Temple. They want to get rid of the Dome of the Rock. They want to get rid of Al-Aqsa Mosque. And they want to start the process of rebuilding the Third Temple so that they can bring back their Messiah. This isn't what I believe. This is what they believe. The evangelicals believe that they have to do this. These people who are not Christians, not Christians at all. They're going around and talking about how they have to kill all these people and they want them all dead. You're not Christian. You're blasphemers. You don't know anything about Christianity. You don't even read your own book except to selectively quote it to try and advance your blood-soaked religious ideology. Confused, terrible Christians with all of the money, evangelical prosperity, churches, and nonsense, totally divorced from a Jesus that wouldn't even sleep one night in the city of Jerusalem after what he witnessed was going on in the temple. They want to rebuild it. These are religious fundamentalists who have an army and are advancing their agenda around the Middle East. And some of you might say, why didn't you talk about all this stuff before? Like, where was all this before? I talked about it a little bit, but I didn't get into this kind of detail. I didn't want to. I wanted Canada to mind its own business. I wanted us to stay on our side of the oceans. I wanted us to deal with our fentanyl problem. I wanted us to deal with our drug problem and our money laundering problem and our China problem. I wanted to fix the relationship with the United States. I wanted to witness what Trump promised, which was a deconstruction and a drawing down of American empire and a recognition of the multipolar world we live in. I wanted Fortress North America, and that meant that I could mind my own business because the world's problems over there would be their problems. Ukraine wouldn't be my problem anymore. What happens in the Middle East wouldn't be my problem anymore. We would focus on prospering and selling goods and services that they needed to them. And that would be it. But here we are on the cusp of World War III. That's where we are. We're very close. And if you think that's hyperbole, I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong. I hope this iteration somehow leads to a magical, peaceful solution. But right now, the Americans need to walk away. They need to admit that they can't accomplish their stated war objectives, which are, it's not that there's this narrative that they're changing at all times. It's not that they're changing. It's that there's so many things that just keep getting piled onto the list. The most unrealistic of them all is forcing regime change without ground troops. There's no way to get ground troops in there either. The logistics, the mountains, the absolute impossibility of a ground war in Iran without 500,000 to 1 million personnel, which there is no infrastructure in place to do, it can't be done. The regime won't be changed. Iran will not be neutralized. The straits will not open. There's this whole, man, you know, this video is going long, but we gotta do something else here. We gotta do something else here. As the price of crude is now $92.30, we got to go back to Google Earth because I've heard idiots, commentators, stupid YouTube content, and generals talking about this island. Karg. This is where they load up ships and transports, and this is like a main commercial hub. And I've seen these morons on mainstream news, and they're saying, America just needs to go in there and get this to shut down oil supplies to the world, which will checkmate the global economy and is virtually guaranteed to start bringing in China and other people into this war even more than they already are, because they are providing intelligence data. But this is so unrealistic. As it is right now, U.S. forces cannot get out of the Arabian Sea because of the threat of Iranian ballistics. They're talking about sending ships through the strait to try and capture and patrol the strait, but they haven't done so yet because it would be a futile gesture. But you'd have to get through here. You can't rely on Bahrain anymore because your base there has been blown to bits. It's literally leveled. We're talking about billions of dollars to replace. And, I mean, Western media is not telling you about that. And that's none of them. CNN, Fox News, no one is reporting on the damage that's been done to that base and how it is neutralized. But let's pretend you can get all of that done. And you do take Karg Island. Yay! You are in artillery range from all of these areas, let alone ballistics, let alone drones, let alone all of the other Iranian capacities. You could just be bombed by artillery. You have to get water. You have to get food. This is the type of stuff that's being bandied around on mainstream media in the United States. They're not solutions. This is what I mean when I say the United States is completely unprepared. These are all ad hoc things. They're spitballing. They're throwing stuff at the wall to see if they can find something that sticks. They went into this with no strategic planning, and I made a quote by Sun Tzu. I'll finish on this point, that tactics without strategy are just the noise before destruction. Let's just make sure I'm reading that right. I want to get Sun Tzu right. Tactics without strategy is the noise before defeat. And that's what this is. They're showing you flashy pictures of bombs. Actually, let's look at one more image, because there's just so much stuff. There's so many angles. This right here, this picture. This is what they're calling an intercept. The caption reads, "Smoke rises after an explosion in an industrial zone in Fujairah, United Arab Emirates, after the interception of a drone." Interception. It looks like it was intercepted by a fuel depot. The fuel depot did a great job of getting in the way of that drone. I'm getting flustered because there's just so much of it. There's so much more I can show you that indicates that in spite of all the glaring and beautiful proclamations from Donald Trump and the Pentagon and the regime reporters and the media, it's not going well. And you're going to find out. Whether you disagree today or not, the door will always be open to you to come back. You can rage quit. You can call me names. You can do whatever. You can do whatever you want. You'll be welcome back when you figure it out. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like this work, please consider supporting it via the website. I'll see you in the next one.